Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Like it or not, the people who create the wonderful and fantastic world of motion pictures have as much right to personal problems as the rest of us. Sometimes these problems are big enough to make headlines. Some of them never become visible at all, but work undercover. Take the case of Joan Harrington, one of the very few women to make a success as a motion picture producer. It's her story we tell this week in our play, The Watchful. It was written by William Dench and stars Alice Reinhardt as Joan. Let's begin with Act One.
Uncle, do have more of this crack crab. It's just wonderful.
Well, thank you, Joan.
I admit one of the reasons I brought my film unit here was so I could be assured of some decent food while shooting.
Well, the French Riviera has always been noted for its affinity with good existence.
Well, you should see some of the places we've worked. Dreadful misery and poverty. I decided the last time that from now on we'd only go on location where we'd be certain of American standards.
Well, now, what if the story called for a definite location in an area that wasn't up to your, standards?
We'd switch it, of course.
You mean you'd change the story to another locale just so that certain physical comforts could be attained?
That's right. Look, Uncle, I always knew you were naive. You'd have to be in order to go grubbing along for the Salvation Army all these years.
Now, your choice of words isn't quite right, Joan. Grubbing's a far cry from my work.
Well, I didn't mean it to sound quite as harsh as that, but what I'm driving at, Uncle, is the fact that you probably haven't earned as much at your calling all your life as I've done within a few years. Now, do you believe that?
Well, in a dollar and cents fashion, you may have accumulated more payment, that's true. And yet, in a spiritual form, I have the feeling that I have been better repaid.
Spiritual? You can't cash that at the bank.
Does money really mean so much to you, John?
Let me be perfectly honest with you, Uncle. It isn't actually the money that counts. What counts is the fact that I, as a woman, am doing as well as any man in a man's business.
Well, you certainly have built your name.
Thank you. Without false modesty, I can state that only three or four men producers have the success I've enjoyed. And if they don't watch their step, I'll catch up to them and pass them, too. I mean it.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
When I first started in this film business, I was a $35 a week typist. But I kept my eyes and ears open and took advantage of every chance that came along. In 12 years, I was producing my own film.
Yes. And are you happy?
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, not as happy as I might be at this juncture.
Is there any way that I can help?
No, there isn't. Wait, you might be of some assistance at that. You have a very soothing effect on people.
So does a glass of warm milk.
No, it goes beyond that. There's a sort of, inner quietness that helps the person you're talking with. Lord knows he can use some solace.
He?
My director, Jim Pabian.
Oh, very famous man.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. Perhaps too long. He's very important to this film of mine. And lately, he's really been dragging his heels. I think it might not hurt him to have a little chat with you. Maybe you can find out what's eating him. Would you do that little thing for me?
Why, certainly. It would be a pleasure. How do I go about meeting him?
Here's his hotel room number. Call him and tell him I suggested you get together. He'll do it. Believe me, he'll do it, or else.
Or else?
That's right. Or else.
Come in, Major. Come in. Here, have a seat.
Why, thank you, Mr. Pabian.
Call me Jim. Everybody else does. Care for a little drink? Oh. how about some light refreshments? Coffee, tea?
Later, perhaps. A nice apartment you have here.
Oh, only the best, Major. I'm past the age where I can take those rocky location facilities. My contract now calls for decent living conditions no matter where the filming is done.
Well, frankly, I'm a bit confused about just exactly why you're filming this picture here at Saint-Tropez. From what I know of the story, it was originally set in a Canadian fishing village.
Yes, that's right. But we in Filmville have learned a rather important lesson. We can produce a film for considerably less here in Europe than we can back in North America. Plus the fact that the producer can write off the whole travel vacation as a business deficit.
Hmm. But doesn't switching the locale tend to delete the story?
Major, I like your use of words. Delete is hardly the right term. Switching a story, and especially in our case, sometimes hurts the thing very much.
Well, then why does Joan permit it? She's a girl of good sense.
Well, Joan not only permitted it, she instigated it. But perhaps it isn't fair of me to talk behind my boss's back. Besides, isn't she your niece?
Yes.
Hard to reconcile you two.
In what way?
You are a gentle soul. Far too gentle for our world, I'm afraid. And your niece Joan is not a gentle soul. You know what they call her in Hollywood?
No, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it does matter. Back in sunny Smogville, Joan is referred to as the stainless steel butterfly. You want to know why?
Not particularly.
I'll tell you anyway. Joan is a hard, ruthless operator. She clawed and fought her way up to where she is. And along the way, she clawed a few very nice people.
Joan is driven by impulses that were, in a way, forced on her.
Oh, come on now, Major. You're not going to give me that frustrated childhood routine. Lots of us in the film game came from rather shabby starts.
Joan has certain qualities that you don't credit her with. After all, she's thinking of you and your welfare.
My welfare. You know why she's worrying about me, don't you? She's up to her ears in this film. The backers wouldn't put up the loot unless she had a top director to push this turkey through. I am the top director, if I may be so immodest.
Well, Joan mentioned the fact that you weren't too enthused over the picture.
Joan is so right. I am most unenthused. Most.
Well, then why did you take the assignment?
Three reasons. Money. Money. And, oh, yes. Money.
But your reputation.
Oh, Major. Like so many top names in Hollywood, I live a bit high. I've grown accustomed to certain necessities, such as a $100,000 home in Bel Air, a swimming pool, which I rarely use, and so on.
And you were willing to gamble your good name on a film that you have no faith in for that?
I had no choice. Assignments for top directors are few and far between. Not only that, but I am faced with the fact that my earning days are numbered.
Oh, nonsense. You're a young man.
On the shady side of 50.
You have many years of work ahead yet.
Not as many as you think. I haven't said much about this to anyone, but I feel the need to confide. Major, did you read about the short observation rest I had a few months back?
No, I'm afraid not.
Wasn't a rest. It was a breakdown.
Oh.
But I couldn't let anyone know the truth. It's too tough to get work under such conditions.
I'm sorry.
How much chance do you think I would have had of getting this job if Joan had known? Or the backers?
I think I understand.
Yeah, I know you do. And now, Major, let's turn to more cheerful matters, huh? How about that tea or coffee I mentioned before?
Oh, that might not be a bad idea.
Of course not. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow, we die.
Ah, Joan, I heard you were shooting on the waterfront today, and you're getting a good early start.
Not as early as I had hoped. We're nearly set to start rolling, except for one thing.
Oh?
Remember how I told you Jim Pabian was dragging his heels?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another classic example of it. He made the call for 8 this morning. Here it is, nearly 8:30, and he's nowhere around.
Have you called his hotel?
Twice so far. He's not in his room, and they've paged him in the restaurant with no luck. Well, I've had it with him. If he isn't here by 9, I'm shipping him back on the first boat.
Oh, now, you can't do that, Joan. Besides, where would you find another good director on such short notice?
I've got news for you, Uncle. Directors are hanging around the corners in Hollywood, praying for spots like Jim Pabian fell into. I ought to have my head examined. I could have picked a dozen other directors just as easily, and I get trapped into hiring him.
Well, I think he's a good man, Joan. You didn't make a mistake hiring him.
No? What good is he when he's not on the job where he belongs? I tell you,
now,
I could...
Wait, Joan. Let me go to the hotel to check up on him.
Don't you understand? He's not there.
I have a feeling about that, and I'll be right back.
Well, I may as well go with you.
No, I'd rather you waited here.
Oh, don't be silly. We can't get started without him anyway. Let's go.
Well, if you insist.
I do. Come on. Obviously not in his room. Why persist with this knocking?
Well, I'm going to use the pass key the clerk gave us.
What in the world do you expect to find in his room?
No, I just want to make sure that everything's all right.
You make this sound positively morbid.
Now, you wait. Don't come in.
Why not? There's nobody in there.
There is.
Who?
Jim.
Let me past.
Please, you must not go in.
No, watch. I'll find out what our dear Mr. Pabian is up to.
No, Joan, I didn't want you to see him like this.
Dead drunk. Look at him. Must have had a whole quart to be out this cold. Come on, Jim. Wake up. Wake up, do you hear? Get up, do you hear me? Get up! Here, I'll force you to sit up.
Oh, please, please, Joan, you're being a bit harsh with him.
Harsh? I'm not harsh enough. This drunk here is going to cost me this entire picture if I don't snap him out of this dream he's in.
My head.
Come on up, come on up. You've got a film to direct this morning. Fast, 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 up.
He's in no condition to direct, and you know.
He's going to get out of there and work today if it kills him.
Voice of the turtle.
Shut up, I've had enough of you.
May I add that you're at the end of a long line.
You get out there and get to work right now, you're through. Throw!
Let me get up a moment.
Now, may I help you?
Thanks, Major.
Now, out that door.
One moment, Princess. I'm not going yet. I only got to my feet so I could address a distinguished lady like you in the proper fashion.
Well, talk fast.
No. On the contrary, I'm going to speak slowly. Slowly and distinctly. I am not going to work your film today. Not today or ever. So pick your royal frame up and get out of my sight. Permanently. I'm through.
That was Act One of The Watchful, starring Alice Reinhardt as Joan Harrington. One thing you may have noticed in this story, and many previous stories as well, is that the Salvation Army is no respecter of social position or wealth, or the lack of either, when it comes to helping someone. Long experience has shown them that moral and spiritual conflicts are apt to occur in anyone's life, and in their work, it's the man that is important, not his house, or car, or bank account. The help they offer is boundless in scope, and millions of people have availed themselves of it, from Skid Row alcoholics to chairman of the board. Support the Salvation Army as generously as you can, won't you, with your time or your contributions. Now, Act Two of The Watchful, starring Alice Reinhardt as Joan Harrington.
One to blame but myself. I had to hire that drunk.
Doesn't it matter to you that he's finished now in films?
And did it matter to him that he cost my company 2 days shooting delay?
Well, what's the next step?
I'm trying to get hold of a director here in Europe who can take over and finish the film. So far, I've got calls into 3 different people. None great, but they'll do it.
I want you to do one thing for me.
It depends.
Will you give Jim Pabian another chance?
Are you out of your mind? Of course not.
Please. Now, it could mean his entire life.
Hold it. Aren't you forgetting he's the one who quit?
He wasn't aware of what he was doing. If you'll give him another chance, I'll go to him and get him to come back to you, and he'll work out for you, I promise.
I'm out of my mind, I guess. But maybe it's because I know he is a good director. All right. But you've got to keep him sober. But I guess alcohol is a problem in your calling anyway, isn't it?
Well, we do run across a great deal of unhappiness that people often do try to solve with alcohol, yes.
How do you handle it? I better learn fast.
The most effective cure is to try God.
Oh, that's for dreamers.
Christians are frequently thought by some to be dreamers who shut their eyes to reality, but any Christian instructed in the Bible knows that life in every age has been grim. No, John, no, Christians are quite capable of seeing the obvious.
Realism versus faith.
No, correction, John. Realism plus faith. There's a statement in the 6th chapter of Isaiah which expressed this idea of realism plus faith. I saw also the Lord. Now, this is part of the first verse which says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord.
Yes, well, I don't follow.
Well, this realist, with faith, saw death, but he also saw the Lord. And in the midst of loss and loneliness, Isaiah saw something more than the obvious. He also saw God.
I'll be anxious to see how Mr. Jim Pabian reacts to your proposal. That's when you can test your realism plus faith, but don't say I didn't warn you.
Major.
Yeah, I've just seen Joan.
Bully for you. I bet you got the scars to show for it, too. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Joan wants you to stay.
Huh?
She wants you to finish the film.
You've got to be kidding.
No. She realizes you're a good director and can do the best job.
Major, you're a miracle worker. To get her to take me back after what happened? But I got news for you. I'm not going back.
You must.
Why?
For your sake.
My sake? I took the job in the first place against my better instincts.
Perhaps you can make something of this film. Improve the story.
Too late. Screenplay is set. A fair hunk is already on film. Now, I can see the billboard now. She dared to sin. One woman's battle against convention, etc., etc., ad nauseum.
I told Joan that you would finish the film for her and finish it right. And you will.
Major, you're the most determined man I ever met. I honestly believe you think you're going to get me to go back on the picture.
And I honestly believe that you're right.
Oh, no. No! A drink, Major. I could offer coffee.
No, thanks, Jim. Not now.
I have to pull myself together, you know. Had a very harrowing day today. I only got one scene.
So I heard.
Oh, I see, I see. I think I know why you're here now. Little birdie sent you, I bet. Little birdie named Joan?
No, as a matter of fact, she was strongly against my seeing you.
Oh, she was. You mean little old fun-loving Joan is pouting in a corner somewhere?
Jim, the scene I saw today was excellent. It showed sensitivity and taste. In short, it was what your entire film should be.
But won't. It won't because the bulk of the film we're shooting is plain garbage. Today's scene is a pearl in a trash heap. It's one reason I took so much time. I wanted something to be proud of.
Now, you could be proud of the entire film if you took matters in your own hands. And you can do it. I know you can. Eliminate the tawdry and vulgar from this story and turn out something that will put you right back where you belong.
Take Joan's film over? Major, you don't know your niece very well, I'm afraid. She's a woman with a whim of iron. She's cold, efficient, ruthless. She's aiming her film at a certain commercial market. There's nothing on earth will stop her from her course, believe me.
Joan has some faults, I'll admit, but she isn't quite what you paint.
Oh, but she is, Major. She is. She'd sell her own flesh and blood down the river if it would further her career one inch. I need another little drink just thinking of her.
But I could tell you a few things about Joan that might surprise you.
Yeah, well, so could I. I've known Joan a lot longer than you think. I saw her when she was just starting on the way up. She was a very lovely girl. Now that I think of it, she's still lovely. Lovely. Beauty. Again back recalled to this light. A stranger to itself and all. Both the wonder and the story shall be yours, and eat the glory. I am your servant and your thrall.
John Fletcher, great poet.
When he wrote it, he must have foreseen Joan. And me.
You?
Yes, Major. I'm in love with Joan. I've always been in love with her.
I never suspected.
Keep it that way, please. You're the only one I've ever told this to.
But why didn't
you... No. There were good reasons. And now the best reason of all is that it's too late. It's much too late.
Joan, I just got the news.
Yes, I'm sure it's all over the place.
But your film, you can't just drop something like that in the middle. What of all the people in it, the technicians, the actors?
I'll see to it that all their fares are paid back to the States. They lose a few weeks' work. That's the extent of their loss.
You're packing, I see. Are you leaving that soon?
Quicker the better.
What brought this decision about so suddenly?
My backers. They're the ones to blame. They won't advance the funds. Some idiot back there with the slide rule and accounting books decided I was too far behind to make it worthwhile. Well, maybe he's right.
Joan, I am sincerely sorry for you.
I'm sure you're the only one.
No, there is someone else.
Oh, please, Uncle, not now. Not the Lord routine.
No, besides him, you have another one who loves you.
Oh, sure.
Jim Pabian. He loves you.
What are you saying?
Jim Pabian, he told me he's been in love with you for years.
But he never even so much... Oh, this is too much. Too much. It's a pretty picture, isn't it? The two of us. A failure and a hopeless drinker. Would you mind leaving me alone now, Uncle? I just want to sit down and cry.
Joan, I'm glad I got here in time. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to see you to say goodbye.
I'm glad you came, Uncle. Very glad. The plane isn't leaving a schedule. We'll be delayed at least an hour. Seems as if everything I'm connected with is doomed to disaster.
Well, I took the liberty of bringing someone else along with me. Here he is now. I'll let you talk to him alone for a few minutes.
Now, wait. What is... Oh, you.
It was the Major's idea. He and I have been doing a lot of talking and thinking.
I see.
The Major told you that I was in... how I felt about you?
Yes, he did.
I'm glad he did. I wanted you to know.
I only wish I'd known a long time ago.
Would it have made any difference?
Well, I think it might have.
Well, I guess it's too late now.
I guess it is.
Joan, I don't suppose this will alter things any, but... the Major has convinced me of one thing. I've got to stop drinking. And I'm going to stop. You hear? I'm going to.
I'm very glad to hear that, Jim. Believe me.
But I'm going to need help. Lots of help. I'm not a religious man, but when I see what it's done for others, I'm going to try to see what it can do for me. Without that help, I'm afraid I'll be lost.
I have a strong feeling you'll make it, Jim.
But I'll need other help, too. I'll need the help of a good woman. Will you give me another chance?
Me? Oh, you don't want me, Jim. I failed, don't you see?
In one way, this failure may be a godsend, Joan. Without it, I don't think I'd ever have had the courage to ask you. You don't seem as unapproachable suddenly.
I'm not unapproachable, Jim. Not now.
Then you will have me?
Let's give it a little time. Let's both try hard. Maybe it will work.
Oh, Joan... suddenly, I feel as though life were starting anew. And you know what? I think that together, you and I can do some really worthwhile things. This film, we're not beat yet. We'll take it and start all over. We'll get new backing.
You may be right. I think you are right. It's worth a try. A good try.
Oh, Major, come here, quickly.
Well, now, well, what's all this about?
Oh, Uncle, it's so wonderful. Both Jim and I have just realized something. Jim, you tell him.
I don't think I have to, Joan. Oh, but wait. I'll tell him in a way that was told a long, long time ago. Major, we've just come back to the great basic truth that Jesus, I believe, once said, no man can serve two masters. It was Jesus, wasn't it?
Yes, Jim. Yes. It was Jesus.
That was the final act of The Watchful, starring Alice Reinhardt as Joan Harrington. Be sure and be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is broadcast overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.